Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shoftim, Perek 17, Yud Zayin. Before we begin, it's necessary to understand that the closing of Sefer Shoftim, bound up as it is with the story of Shimshon, in many, many subtle ways, the most important one of which is the single phrase of Yashar Be'inai, which becomes now the theme of every bit of what happens from this point on, and in fact is identified by the Gemara as the theme of the book as a whole. Sefer HaYashar, because it's Ish HaYashar Be'inav Yaaseh, the times of where Bayamim Ahim Ein Melech B'Yisrael, as we shall see. So that Shoftim serves really as the transition from the primitive stage of Yisrael, its earliest stage as a school child, and which of course begins even earlier in Mitzrayim, as Yechezkel points out, we read in the Haggadah Shel Pesach as a little tiny baby, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has cleaned us, taken us, the Zacharti Lachesed Neurayech, which is just the beginning of puberty as we go out now and begin the process of growing into ourselves. School children that have grown up now towards the end of this Sefer into at least a level of maturity in which we can recognize what is going wrong. The last part of the Sefer, after Maisa Shimshon, is completely and totally without any chronological reference in the Sefer. And in a way, it actually takes us back in history to the times of Otniel ben Knaz or Kushan Rishataim early on in the book. But that's irrelevant to us because the book is constructed as the segue to Malchus, and therefore it's not interested here in any longer in chronology. And so we begin this story many, many centuries before. Actually, the story begins before Yitziat Mitzrayim. And there Moshe Rabbeinu was most upset with the shlichut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And he says to Hashem at the end of Sefer Parsha Shemot, Hatzel lo hitzalt et amecha. And even though you may have very great plans for something in the future, you don't seem to have much care about the present. The way that Chazal put it is that he spoke rather roughly, one might say, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hatzel lo hitzalt et amecha. Yodea Anisha Sofchalo Otzian, I know that in the end you'll take them out of Mitzrayim. Avoma Ichpat Lecha, you don't seem to have any concerns. La'elo Animochim Tachat HaBinyanim. What do you care about these kids that are getting crushed over here by the Egyptians who are destroying the children under the bricks? The only ones who were Nimochim, it's an interesting name because it means, translated as the name of a person, Micha, crushed one. And indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, according to the Gemara, Moshe, the ones that are being crushed during this period, and whatever is being lost, are kotzim ani mechalebeim min hakerem. I am getting rid of the genes that are going to destroy Yisrael. You don't believe me? Why don't you choose one at random? Take him out, and let's watch what happens. The one that Moshe chose to take out grew up to be the so-called hero of the story to come. Micha, the crushed one, who ended up, according to the Gemara, ended up taking with him the most precious thing that ended up destroying Yisrael, the little cheres that said Alei Shor, that Moshe Rabbeinu had used for the thing that was most important to him, bringing up the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik from the bottom of the Nile, the secret of the Geula that Sarah Bat Asher had kept to herself. That little piece was used again and again to create the Agalim. First the Egel in the Midbar, and that, of course, became the Egel in the Chelek of Dan, that would become the Yeravam ben Nevat. The Gemara says that that Nevat is none other than our so-called hero, Micha, just his other name. And so this Micha carried that with him through the Yam Suf, so that at the very time that we were crossing the Yam Suf, there was the future destruction of Yisrael. And it was about that that the Malachi HaSharet had said, Elu ve'elu of the Avodah Zarahim. Why are you saving Yisrael? They too are of the Avodah Zarah. And some, as Rashi points out, some say that Micha had already built for himself an Avodah Zarah that he carried with him. But our story now switches 4 centuries in the future, at least where we're reading it. It actually, if it occurred right at the beginning, and it's a mere 60 years in the future. And here is this Micha, by the way, to say that it occurred centuries in the future is not a problem because, as the Gemara points out, this Micha, in his various guises, lived through until the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. Why that happened, we shall see. But in any event, the story begins with a rather rotten boy who has managed to steal some money from his mother. We're not even told that part of the story. And it's interesting that the exact amount that he stole, would you believe it? 1,100 kesef, exactly the amount that the Sarnei Plishtim were each offering Delilah for delivering up the poor Shimshon. Weird connection, but who knows? Vayi ish mi Harefraim ushmo Michayu. There was a man from Harefraim, and his name was not just plain old Micha, which was his name, Michayu. Now, that, as the Medrash points out, that's a name. Wherever we include the Shem Hashem, the Yud, Kei, Vav, at the end of a Shem, it's usually a sign of a tzaddik. This guy sure doesn't sound like a tzaddik. However, Chazal tell us that one thing that this man did do is that he always provided for guests. And he was, in fact, famous all over for providing for guests. And so his little bad habits here and there, such as stealing from his mom or other things of that sort, those were not as important as the fact that Pito Mitsuya Lo'orchim, amazing. So as the Medrash puts it, a door that has tzedakah and gemilut chasadim, even if everything that they do is rishut and maiser rishayim, ein gezar dinam la'abdam, and we learn that out from Micha, despite the fact that he did have avodah zarah, and the Malachi Asharas wanted to destroy him, and he's clearly a very, very difficult personality. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, spare him. Pitom mitzuya lo'ovrei derachim, as we're going to see. But the first little stunt that he pulls is clearly he had stolen money from his mom. And although we're not told, we can see from his response that his mom went bananas. And she, being apparently a rich lady, very loudly cursed anybody who would have stolen that money. A curse that was taken very, very seriously at those times, especially Gozel Aviv Imo, as it puts it in Mishlei. And as Zechariah points out, oh, the Allah uva'al beit ha-ganav v'chilato, the curse will destroy the ganav. And she even mentions the curse to her son, probably thinking it's good for him to hear it. She knew what he was like. And so we enter into the story at the moment that he turns to his mother with a confession. Vayomer li'imo, you know that elef u'mea kesef asher lukach lach? The money that was sort of taken, the atalit, and you went around cursing, v'gam amart b'oznai, you even mentioned the curse in my own ears. Well, inei kesef iti ani lekachti, I've got the money. It was I who took it. V'tomer imo, and her mother was afraid that indeed the curse would destroy him. Immediately tried to turn the curse into a blessing. Baruch b'ni l'adunai, she said. Blessed is my son. And so he gave the money back, told her, look, it's basically yours. Vatomer imo, well, that's okay. Hakdeshi yigdashti et hakesef ladunai miyadi livni. This money I actually want to give to Hegdash, l'shem Hashem, and I'm going to give it to my dear son, livni, lasot pesel umasecha v'yata ashivenu lach. And I want it to be used for this very holy need to build an idol. Pesel is usually the shape of a human being, and a masecha is just something that, some type of picture, some type of representation of Hashem. And now I do hereby give it back to you. This seems to have been some type of formula for giving things to Avodah Zarah. I do hereby give it for this, and I do give it to you for that purpose. Vayashev et hakesef l'imo. And so after he ceremoniously takes it, he gives it to his mother, who apparently wanted to go do herself, or she didn't trust him. Vatikach imo matayim kesef, she takes 200 of the 1,100. Vatitneo latzoref, some say, you can see she doesn't even keep her promise. She said she's going to give it to Hegdash, and she ended up choosing, you know, a small amount of it. I mean, this is a lot of money. It's not a small amount, but only a fifth of the money. And she gives it now to a metal worker, vayaseo fesel amasecha. And it's brought now to be put, beautiful hachnosas, sefer pesel amasecha, and there it is in Beit Michayom. Ve'ish Micha, lo Beit Elohim. Now this guy Micha, he was a very dedicated fellow, and he had his own private shtibel, which they called a temple to God in those days. By the way, the Gemara says every Elohim that's mentioned in this story is not Kodesh. Ve'yas efod utrafim, and he had already made an efod and a trafim, which was used, these were like little icons that were used for for finding out the future. V'yamaleh et yad achad mibanav, and v'yamaleh et yad is the word that we used for mileta yad Aaron v'yad banav. It's the word that we used to officially appoint and to investiture the kohen, and he did this to one of his children and made him into a kohen. V'yilo lechohen. Now all of this happens because v'yamim ahem ein melech b'Yisrael ish hayashar ben aviyaseh. One of the most important ways of understanding is one way we saw, of course, was the way in which, literally, one could follow their eyes, marry who they wished. And the other was, one can worship however one wishes. Make your own little shtievel. Find your own way to God. It's all fine. Little pesel masecha on the side. But, of course, it's all about God. We don't really take seriously all of the little nonsense, and he certainly doesn't mind. We'll see. We'll see that actually this was very much brought out. The story is even said over with an element of humor and sarcasm, as if to indicate how meaningless all of this was, how silly it all was, and how unseriously it was all taken. Now, there was also a boy, interesting, right after telling us that in Melech Israel, a boy comes from Beit Lechem Yehuda. This was, of course, something that we had already seen merumas early on, in the contrast with Ivtzan, in which the difference between an Avimelech and an Ivtzan was exactly the story of what was to happen in Beit Lechem Yehuda. Beit Lechem Yehuda, by the way, is to make it clear that we are not talking about the Beit Lechem that we mentioned about Zvula in the Galil. And he was from a Mishpachat Yehuda, but he himself was a Levi. V'hu Levi v'hu Garsham. The Gemara says, Mishpachat Yehuda means that because he ended up doing Avodah Zarah, he was like the Mishpachat Yehuda that had done Avodah Zarah. And so, the man left town in order to find a good place in which he could live and make a living. Now from here, we actually see that when a person was looking around and needed a place to stay, there was one place to stay. And that was Beit Micha. That was the place, apparently, where anybody who needed help, that's where he would go. Vayomer lo Micha, me'ayin tavo. And Micha asked him, where did you come from? Vayomer elav Levi anochi. I myself am a Levi, and I've been living in Beit Lechem Yehuda. Vanochi olech lagur basher emtza. I'm just looking for a job. Find something where I can find my place in life. Vayomer lo Micha, I've got a great idea. We've been actually looking for a Levi. I've had to appoint my son in charge of my little shtibel. But we could use an itinerant Rebbe. So Shvai Madi, why don't you live here? Ve'yeli la'av, you can be a teacher here. V'lechohen, we'll make you a kohen. V'ani etin lecha aseret kesef la'yamim, I'll pay you 10 kesef per year. Ve'erech begadim, and I'll give you a whole wardrobe of clothes. U'michyatecha, besides all the support that you need. Living quarters, food. Great deal. V'yelech ha'levi, and so the Levi followed his idea. V'yoel ha'levi l'shevet ha'ta'ish. Interesting. Exactly the words that were said about another Levi, someone by the name of Moshe, about an Ish, whose name was Yitro. Vayyanar lo ke'achad mibanav. And the boy became one of the family. Vayyimale Micha et yad ha'Levi, and so Micha turned him into the Kohen, invested him with the koach of the Kohuna, vayyilo anar lechohen, vayyi beveit Micha. And so he moved into Micha's home and became the Kohen in Micha's shtibel. Vayyomer Micha, ta yadati, ki yetiv Adonai li. Now I know that God wants me to succeed in this and is going to do good for me. Ki ayali alevi lechohen, sending me a Levi of all people to be my kohen. I'm tickled pink. And so, we have here the beginning of a catastrophe that is going to end up being part of the story that will bring Klal Yisrael to the disaster of the Girush of the Aseres HaShvatim. And it all began with the very same Levi that started Pesel Micha in motion. And we're going to find out tomorrow that the little boy Levi was actually a grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu himself.